loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black or blue, just not the Muslims or the Jews. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Hi, you're listening to the Bashful Scandinavian Podcast. This is episode 4. In this episode, I'll talk about St. Patrick's Day and Jesus, and also interview the star of Jesus Christ, I'm Sorry, Brent Taurosi, a show that's currently playing in New York. Thanks for listening.
All the children of the world, red and yellow, black or blue, just not the Muslims or the Jews. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
St. Patrick's Day was yesterday. And I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day. I wanted to see if anyone would on the internet talk about Jesus and use the St. Patrick's Day holiday to try and convert people to Christ and preach. So I just typed in St. Patrick's Day and Jesus, and I came up with this website called Annie's St. Patrick's Day Welcome. And it says, St. Patrick was a Christian missionary to Ireland! He is a real example of a Christian missionary for us to follow. Let's take from St. Patrick his zeal and desire to share the love of Jesus Christ with others, and let it challenge us to do likewise. Let others see the difference that Jesus can make in their lives. And then get really drunk. I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a killjoy, you know? One thing that I'm always amazed at is conservatives, especially religious conservatives, are really good about staying on message. You know, if you say Happy St. Patrick's Day, they'll say, Do you know about St. Patrick? Do you know about his love of Jesus? And I thought on that website it was a great example of that. You know, well, let's celebrate St. Patrick's Day and get drunk. Well, before you do that, think about what it means for Jesus. I'm here at the Red Room Theater in New York on East 4th Street, and I'm here with Brent Taurosi, who's in town in New York for a few more days. He's been part of the Frigid Festival, performing a show called Jesus Christ, I'm Sorry. Can you tell us a little bit about the show? Give us an overall?
I'd be happy to. Jesus Christ, I'm Sorry is a one-man show about a young man's crisis of faith. And so it starts as he's graduated high school and he's going off to this big Christian youth retreat, and he's struggling with his issues, with his faith, and with the church. And at the same time, it goes back to the start of high school and to show his sort of rise and fall, how he came to this particular point in his life and how he's questioning his faith in God and his faith in the church.
Excellent. What, because I think a lot of people who will maybe check in with this podcast have had some experience with Christianity, maybe good or bad. But what were the specifics? Like, what kind of a denomination was it? And was it very conservative? Can you talk a little bit about that? The one that you grew up in. And I don't know if that's the same as your character, but you can talk about that too.
Well, first of all, the play is based off of my own personal experiences and the experiences of a lot of people that I grew up with, a lot of friends, and it's drawn a lot from personal experience, although they're not exactly the same. It's not exact parallels. Personally, I grew up in a sort of smorgasbord of Protestant churches, Presbyterian United. The last church that I was in for a long period of time was the Presbyterian Church. And my parents actually, their sort of philosophy for choosing a church, because we moved around a lot when I was little, was that they wouldn't choose a church that myself and my sisters didn't like. So they were very conscious of our enjoyment of being at a particular church. So more or less that entailed, you know, like how good the Sunday school or the youth group was. And so there was a conscious decision to keep that in mind. And so when I was growing up, I was very much a part of the youth group because it had been something that I had chosen myself and had followed on. And that's sort of the experience that I wanted the play to go on, to see somebody who is really, you know, has a long history of being part of that kind of experience, of being part of a youth group, of being one of those youth on fire for Christ, and then to see how they deal with when problems emerge and when, you know, when the world disillusions you, how can you keep that in line with your faith that's supposed to be unshakable?
I should just clarify, because I know that you're from Canada. You're from Winnipeg, Canada,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
And I realized I mentioned that a few minutes ago, but I didn't clarify it. So yeah, you're from Winnipeg, Canada, and...
Now, I have spent most of my... we moved to Winnipeg when I was in grade 4, so most of my growing up has been done in Winnipeg, but...
What, as far as where... You talk about this youth retreat that you mentioned in the show, and I think that's sort of interesting because this movie, Jesus Camp, did you see that movie?
No.
There was a movie, have you heard about it at all?
Maybe
it was mostly just distributed in the U.S., but it was about a bunch of young kids that go off to like a summer camp, and they get them all fired up to be martyrs for Jesus and, you know, or like ultra right wing. And I remember going to a lot of youth retreats too. What was, you say you have a youth retreat in your show. Is it based on an experience you had or experiences you had? Have you been to a retreat like that?
Yeah, actually I've been to several huge youth retreats. I was part of a youth group called the Presbyterian Youth Council in Winnipeg, which has sadly sort of disintegrated over time. But in its heyday, we had tri-monthly retreats. That we would do with people from all around the city. And on top of that, we were part of the sort of larger Presbyterian community in North America. And so there's two big retreats. There's Triennium, which happens every 3 years, and which is mainly one for people from the United States. But I went to that one twice, and that takes place in Purdue, Indiana. So I went down there, and it was thousands of people, mostly from the U.S. There was about, I'm trying to think of the exact number, something about 100 people from Canada, and then people from all over the world, like about 20 picked from all over the world who would come to this huge retreat. There was also another one called Canada West, which has sort of supplanted Triennium in Canada now, because people were, politics, of course, got in the way, and people started feeling, you know, well, we go down here for this big retreat, and we don't get enough people
that are
allowed to come, and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I have had a lot of experience with those retreats, and that was originally, when I started writing the play, it wasn't about what it was about now. It was a bunch of just jokes and stories and things that I had about religion. And I had all those, and then I came up with the title, and I'm like, okay, well, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, that's great, because I want to talk about forgiveness and about absolution. And as I started writing a story that went along with all these jokes, and as the characters sort of started condensing, and as it became a one-man show, one by one, each and every single one of those jokes and things disappeared and got cut off, had to let all my little darlings die, and so I ended up with what I have now. So I have enough material for another show.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that, so you said you were in Winnipeg from the fourth grade.
Yeah.
And still are in Winnipeg. Can you talk about, and again, you can speak to how much is part of your show and how much is different in real life, but when you come to, if there's a change, you can describe or not describe, depending on what you want to give away about the show, but you know, what's it like being being raised in a place and then having your thoughts change on religion? And I think maybe possibly running into people that you know from the church. Does that happen?
Certainly. When I first did the show, it was in Winnipeg, and I had let a whole list of people know. And by that point, by the point where I was doing the show, it first went up last summer at the Winnipeg Fringe. I hadn't been really part of the church in a while, and I'd sort of drifted away. I've sort of drifted away slowly, as many people in the church are wont to do. And one of the people who told me he was coming was a friend of mine from the old Presbyterian Youth Council, the PYC, who would.
And so, what did you think when you found out he was coming? Were you nervous, or would you think he would be accepting of?
Well, you know, there were some other people who were coming too from the PYC. What made me particularly nervous about this guy is because he had gone off and become a minister. So he's a minister in Winnipeg, and I was not sure what he'd think of this whole thing. Now, the show itself, I didn't want to go out to write a show that bashes religion and bashes the church and people who follow these kind of things, because that's not what I set out to do. And while I don't actively attend any church right now, I still find that there's a lot of that part of my life that I would not want to take away for anything. But it is something that I've drifted away from, and in my characters drifting away from it, I was figuring, some people's toes could get stepped on here. But I can't worry about that because that's what the story's about. But afterwards, he came down and told me how much he really loved the show. And he wrote this big blog entry about it that he directed me to. And I read it. And he had probably one of the most insightful looks at the play. As a play, it was really interesting because people always brought their own interpretations to it about what my main character, Andrew, what his fall from the church meant and what I was trying to say. I had this one particularly enjoyable moment where there was these two little Filipino ladies who had been at the front during one of my shows, and afterwards I bumped into them, and they came up to me, and they're like, oh, you're so great, oh, I need to give you a hug, and so one of them's hugging me, and then she whispers in my ear, but you're still spreading the word, and she pats me on the back, and I'm like, okay, sure, that's great. My friend, Matthew, he'd really enjoyed how much in his mind, the play had sort of outlined the ways that the church can fail young people, and the ways that failure can be devastating. And that was something that, for him, as a member of the church and as a leader of the church, he felt was a very important dialogue to be opened. And I thought that was great that he enjoyed it so much and that he took that away from it. So yeah.
So what about your relationship with your parents? And I don't know how closely your parents hold the faith that you left behind, but has that created any tension in your relationship?
A little bit. In the story, in the play, the relationship, the main character's relationship with his father is somewhat tenuous, and that is not really based on my personal relationship with my parents, but more of a friend of mine, who has this really, really hard relationship with his father, and he tries so hard to make it work, and they love each other clearly, but so many basic issues that they come to heads with, it just causes their relationship to be really hard to work around. Personally, though, my mother is she attends church fairly regularly, and she makes sure that me and my sisters always go on at least like the big days. So if it's a Christmas service, then we're all going to be there and whatnot. But I think she understands that we have our reasons for moving away and for looking for other stuff. And so she sort of actively encourages us. She's always asking me, if I ever want to look for a church, she'll help me out, or, asks me about it every once in a while. But she tries actively not to pressure me. So
does she ever, because I've had experiences with this where my father, I think when I see him, which probably isn't as often as you see your mom since he lives in Wisconsin, but kind of hinting at me that I need to get my life right with Christ. And I don't know, is that something, does that happen to you or no?
I don't know. I think my mom respects the fact that I haven't left all those teachings behind, and that I hold some of that close to my heart, and it's just that I haven't found a place that I feel comfortable with to continue the worship. In the play, the big question that Andrew, the main character, comes across is struggling with is that he finds himself at odds with hypocrisy that he finds in the church, and the sort of disconnect between that and what he believes and his sort of personal Jesus and his personal relationship with Christ and his personal ideals, and since those don't jibe together, what do you do about that? In my personal instance, it was just to slowly drift away until I'm like, okay, well, I need to spend some time away and then figure out where I want to go and hope that I'll find someplace else.
Can you talk a little bit about I think everyone knows, and I hope this isn't arrogant to think that, the world knows what's happening in the U.S., but I think people know that there's the religious right is really strong in the U.S., and especially you know that in Canada, you're just our neighbors to the north. But what I assume there are differences, but do you see any attempt at religion playing a greater role in Canadian government? I know Stephen Harper elected, was like a year and a half ago, or not elected, but he's a prime minister, so I guess the conservatives...
Elected.
Right, but I mean, it works differently. You don't vote just for the prime minister, right?
No.
You vote for the party. So the Conservative Party, he's the leader. He's the prime minister. And I know he's conservative, but it would just be interesting to for you to talk about the differences or what you see as the differences and also just about how Canadians view the U.S. in general, even outside of religion.
Okay, well, on the subject of religion and sort of Canadian politics, I think there's definitely religious right support of Stephen Harper. A lot of people are sort of pressuring him to reopen some things that had been opened up, and that's sort of his groundswell support.
Such as what, like
gay marriage, stuff like that. Things.
And to mention that the gay marriage was.
Well, gay marriage was. I'm not sure exactly what the legal status of it was, but it was basically it was sort of closed on him being okay. Well, that's all right, and then you're saying, well, no, we want to sort of redefine this word again, and it's like, well, we already decided on this, man. You know, just sit down
right,
and
right.
be quiet.
And there's pressure from the religious right. You're saying to reopen that.
Yeah, and there's constantly that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Now, it's not absent to have that sort of religious presence in in politics. Although I think you don't see the same kind of things. Like it's kind of scary for me personally as a Canadian to watch some news thing and see sort of like big cultish. Gatherings of people who are praising Jesus and trying to and supporting George Bush. That kind of stuff is kind of scary. You don't really see that in Canada. There's no large gatherings of religious zealots who want to hold the Conservatives in power. Not to say those people don't exist in Canada, but maybe they're just not quite as organized. But like, yeah, sort of religion, I don't think, and I've been all over the States, so I've seen this in larger and smaller quantities, but in the places where there's a very, very strong religious right feel and, what's the word I'm looking for?
What are some of the, I mean, what are the places we think, I think, in the U.S. of, you know, you've got Texas and a lot of places down south that we would consider bastions of the religious right, maybe Missouri. But what are the places in Canada? Not that Americans are notoriously bad at Canadian geography, but where are that? Because I would have no idea.
You know, I don't know if there's any place in particular. Alberta, maybe. Alberta is sort of Canada's Texas.
Right.
but I don't know if there's any particular place. Like, Alberta might have more of that, and Quebec, because Quebec is still pretty stridently Catholic in many areas, especially the rural areas. But that has a lot to do with Quebec's history, and too much to get into right now. But no, I like being in some of those places, like Texas, for instance. There's really an extra sort of layer of the in the air that I don't even know how to describe it. But when you feel like you're sort of getting close to the line there, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna offend people religiously here. That doesn't happen a lot in downtown Winnipeg. You know, it's not something I have to worry about. Yeah. So it's different.
Do you? I think culturally, and I've been in Canada a lot, and so I have this discussion with people. I feel like Canada and the U.S. are so similar in terms of the people. I don't feel a big cultural divide, but I hear other people argue differently, that they really feel this sense of, you know, not. I mean, of course, they are different countries, but I feel, you know, I can go to Canada, and obviously it's not only the language, but I feel very, we share a lot of the same media. A lot of comedians have become famous in the U.S. are from Canada, of course, and there are actors and performers. And do you feel there's a great divide between Canadians and Americans?
Well, I certainly don't think there's a great divide, but I think there is a divide. Probably caused by, well, first of all, Canada isn't quite as on top of on the American culture as America is. We're definitely exposed to it, but there's not the same amount of I don't want to call it excess, but we don't get quite as big as wash from one side to the other side. And part of that is nice because it lets Canadians have that little disconnect, and we can sort of sit back and look on the trends in American culture. And one of the prime things of being Canadian is sort of acknowledging what is American and what you don't like and trying to get away from that. So it's like some Canadians will describe themselves in Canadians as being not American. You know, not worshiping celebrity culture and not being crazy religious right wing. And those are obviously huge stereotypes. But it's something that you do see a lot more in America that Canadians generally stray away from. But in like an individual basis, there's certainly not a great difference between Americans and Canadians.
I think this is something that would offend a lot of people, but I think of Canada, and I mean this in, as a compliment, as sort of the U.S. without the baggage in a lot of ways. You know, you're a very prosperous country, and a lot of the, we share things culturally, obviously, both English-speaking, also French and Quebec, but but at the same time, you're not hated in the world like the U.S. is, and I, and you know, it's great. I feel like you have healthcare. I mean, I look at it as a really wonderful thing, and I don't know, I'm always so impressed with Canada because I feel like, you know, while in the U.S., not to get into politics too much, but we're spending all this money on these wars, and we can't even provide health care for all of our citizens.
Well, that's really interesting, because I think there's a lot of Canadians have a very self-deprecating look at themselves. And you'll find you'll find both ends, where people who are so very proud of what Canada is, or people who are very down on that and they wish that they had more, and so there's that constant pull to be more like America in the ways of, you know, having success, having industrial clout, and some people argue for more military presence and for more all sorts of things, and it's something that holds in a precarious balance right now. I have no idea. In 100 years, who knows what the cultural landscape could look like. Canadians constantly feel like we're on the verge of being engulfed in the American presence. The common analogy that is used is that we're a mouse sleeping next to an elephant, and the elephant could roll over and crush us at any point. And for certain like instances, like with the war on terror, a lot of Canadians were afraid that Canada was just going to get strong-armed along into doing whatever America wants. And like there's reasons for that. And like people say, well, you know, if we weren't here, if we didn't have our army, you guys could be in so much trouble. And that's true. It is true. Canada does benefit greatly from having such a huge military and economic ally in the United States. But that being said, we want to be autonomous, and we want to have our own say and our own policies, and that just ties up into all sorts of fun political shit that nobody likes dealing with.
That's really interesting, though, and it's been really great to get your perspective on Canada and the religious right in Canada, and the difference in religion and how people practice Christianity between the two countries. In closing, do you have any projects or any events or shows for some of our Canadian listeners, or if you're touring the U.S.?
Well, I'm not doing any tours in the near future, but I do have a theater company in Winnipeg. It's called Theater by the River, and we have a website at theaterbytheriver.com. I also am preparing two shows for the Winnipeg Fringe Festival coming up. One will be called One Last Thing, and another one will be called The History of Theater in 45 Minutes. And if you want to know anything about that or any of my other projects, you can check out my website at use.iscrappy.com.
Awesome. So it's Brent Hirose here from the East 4th Street Theater. It's the Red Room, right? We're in the Red Room. 85 East 4th Street. And his show is Jesus Christ, I'm Sorry. Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Oh, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black or blue, just not the Muslims or the Jews. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
You've been listening to the Bashful Scandinavian Podcast, Episode 4. If you get bored before I release the next episode, just check out my blog at ryanpaulson.blogspot.com or visit my website, ryanpaulson.com. Thanks for listening.
All the children of the world, red and yellow, black or blue, just not the Muslims or the Jews. Jesus loves the little children of the world.